Today, you asked, we answered. More households in financial stress. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news. This is the third in our series of shows relating to the July 2024 financial analysis that we did based on our surveys. So if you want to catch up, check out Calibrating the Real Impact of Households Financial Relief, where we looked at the specific impacts of the tax cuts and other government support. And also the show we did last week, Mapping Household Financial Pressure from July 2024, where we showed the information in graphical form. Now, of course, I did invite people to put particular postcodes up for analysis, and this is the third show where I go into that granular analysis down at the postcode level. Just before I do that, let me make a few contextual remarks. Some people ask why I go banging on about household stress when it doesn't seem to translate into defaults, when in fact defaults are rising. But this information here shows the real context of the discussion. Household disposable income in Australia, this is real per capita from 2019 onwards. It shows that in Australia it's gone through the floor relative to OECD countries, the US, or indeed pretty much anywhere else you look. And whilst the average capital city home prices in some places continue to rise, particularly Perth, we do have significant pressures. There was an article over the weekend that highlighted that the power bill pressures are now coming through. The combined number of customers in their hardship programs have soared by 35,000 or nearly 40% in a year. That's an interesting observation in terms of how households are reacting to higher costs of everything. And of course, as I discussed in my earlier show, even if you look at Roy Morgan's analysis, it showed that there was a significant hike in mortgage stress compared with a few months ago. And whilst they define mortgage stress differently to me, it's quite a relevant picture. Now, for those who haven't caught up, we survey households on a rolling basis. We put that information into our core market model. We have 52,000 households in the model at any one time, and we update it each week and at the end of each month. And we can slice and dice the data all sorts of different ways and also form a view based on some scenarios as to where things may be going. What that means essentially is we can take the mortgage stress data, the price trajectory information, buying and selling intentions, the migration data, the economic data, put it through the core market model via our scenarios, and then we can analyze it at postcode, region, state, and all Australia level. And that, of course, forms the basis then for pretty much all that we do. And just before I go into the detail on the analysis that we've done, I will just say that we continue to provide our quite popular one-to-one service. If you'd like an individual confidential discussion with me about a particular suburb, you're welcome to reach out for me. I can't give specific financial advice, but I can look at my data down to postcode level and look at some of the underlying trends. And we can look at stress, home price trend data, and perhaps form a view of what may happen ahead as well, based on my modelling. And this takes the form normally of a conversation around an hour via Zoom or phone. There is a cost involved because there's a lot of deep analysis to be done. And if you're interested in contacting me, you can do that via the DFA blog. We're booking roughly 3 to 5 weeks ahead at the moment, partly because of the demand and partly because it takes quite a long time to do the research. Now, just on the definition of stress, I did mention that Roy Morgan uses a different metric to us. What we do is we look at cash flow. Others will look at 30% of income or maybe taxable income or some underwriting type of metric. But we think cash flow gives the best idea of what's really going on down at the grassroots level. If households have more outgoings, excluding one-off discretionary items than income, we define them as stressed. If they have a mortgage, they're in mortgage stress. If renting, they're in rental stress. And investors with cash flow pressures are identified as stressed investors. And we can aggregate the data to look at the total financial stress down at the postcode level across all those categories. Now, we do talk in terms of percentages and also counts. And I've argued consistently, I think the count, the law of big numbers, tells the most significant point. And the RBA, of course, put this slide up some time ago that showed that there's a transition from mild budget pressures through to missing payments and into insolvency. And I make the point again, we're measuring it at the mild end, at the budget pressure end. And it typically takes 2 to 3 years for households to go bad and ultimately miss payments or go insolvent if they haven't sold up in the meantime. Actually, many are selling up now to avoid missing payments and to avoid insolvency. This was the top level data for July, which showed that rental stress continues to climb, that mortgage stress eased back very slightly, just below 50%, and that the debt to income ratio is still very high. And this was the data I shared just looking at the individual estate level. And I've highlighted in yellow where it's gone higher from last month and blue where it dropped down. And the impact of those government supports and the tax cuts impacted stressed investors more than others. In fact, many stressed investors are now seeing things slightly more positive. Now, here is the detailed analysis that we do for each of the major postcodes, more than 2,000 actually in the model at any one time. This is my favorite, Wollongong. I know it very well. And it's one that I use as a benchmark simply because it consistently tells quite an interesting story. We can look at the number of households, 18,900, and we can see how the splits between outright borrowing and renting households, with renting at 48% the highest, 23% borrowing, and 27% owning outright. And then we can look at the mortgage stress with 46% of those borrowing with financial pressure more than 2,300. We've got the renters in rental stress at 82%, more than 7,600. So that's a real pressure point. We've also got stressed investors at 27%. And we've got an aggregate stress level, which is 58% of all households in this particular postcode currently have issues more than 10,900. We can also look at the property mix as 35% houses, 52% units, 11% other types of property. That includes perhaps living over a retail entity on the ground floor with high rise above. We can look also at the people ratio. This is the typical number of people in a property at 2. That suggests that it could be couples. When it goes higher, it's families. When it goes lower, it tends to be single people. The vacancy rate was quite high. Now, the vacancy rate was from the census. That was done at the end of COVID. So it might be a little off, but it is worth noting that 9.8% is a high number. And we also have gross and net investment yields. Gross investment yield, meaning the combination of the rent, theoretically, that can be commanded compared with the purchase price of the property. The net investment yield is actually the real returning cash flow for the property investor, comparing the money coming in and the outgoings. That can include the maintenance of the property, the costs of the mortgage, and perhaps management fees too. So you can see here in this postcode, at minus 0.8%, investors are underwater from a cash flow perspective and are totally relying on capital gains. We can then look at the taxable income, which was 79,000 from the ATO or 84,000 from the census. And that gives a disposable monthly income around $5,600 for the average household. And 43% is going on the typical mortgage, which is more than $2,400 a month. And the typical rent at 35% is around $1,993. And those are quite high numbers, as you can see highlighted there. We can also model prospective capital growth ahead. This is based on three scenarios, the best, base, and worst case scenario. I tend to focus on the best case, assuming that rates don't go any higher and come down later, and the base case, which assumes that we do see some movement in rates, but not in the short term. Worst case scenario would be higher interest rates and a recession. And we can see here that for houses in the area, the scenario is a small rise over 3 years, maybe 4.8% over 3 years. Best case scenario, the base case for houses down 14% over 3 years, and units following pretty closely through. So let's look at some of the comments from the previous post. Interestingly, we had one here from Lazlon4424. Saying, appreciate all your efforts. I have a contact in the Gold Coast who's observing a flipping in the residential market. Numbers of vendors is up, purchases are down. That being said, the market has gone from white hot to red hot. appreciate all your efforts. Yeah, good point. And the Gold Coast is one we watch quite closely. Here is actually the sample postcode. It's actually 4207, which includes Yatala and other areas around there. Logan, for example, Logan Village. And here you can see that there are around 25,000 households in the postcode, 21% earning outright, 38% are borrowing, 40% are renting. And you can see that mortgage stress is not too bad, 30% of mortgage-stressed households, but 91% in rental accommodation who are stressed. So they're having the real issue paying those rents. Some stressed investors, but it's not particularly high, but overall households in financial stress, 51%. The data shows that it's predominantly houses in this area, small number of units and other types of property. You can see that the people ratio is quite a lot higher, 2.55, so that includes a lot of families. The vacancy rate at 5% was lower than the previous one we looked at. Gross investment yields, 4.7%, so that's quite significant, 4.7%, but the net investment yield is 0.9%, which is positive, but only slightly positive. Looking at the taxable income, 65,000 versus 77,000 for the census, and that gives a disposable monthly of around $5,000 a month, with 39.2% on average going on the mortgage at $1,986 a month, and for the rent, 34.5% or $1,745 a month. And looking at the trends, yes, at the moment, on the best case scenario, we are certainly considering that prices could continue to rise for some time yet, over 3 years, up perhaps 11%. But the base case is a small fall around 7%, and the worst case fall of around 27% if things went really badly. So it does show you the detailed sensitivity is quite important here to understand what's going on. Now I'm going to look at this particular comment, The Thinking Man 9338. The very fact that your videos get around 1,000, 2,000 views shows that 99.999% of Australians are sleepwalking into a complete financial collapse. Well, I agree that a lot more are in financial difficulty than they realise. Actually, my viewing figures are a bit higher than that on some of my shows. Some of the recent ones are 5,000 to 8,000 and 9,000, 10,000. But the point is right. Very few people really understand what's going on. One of the reasons why we focus on what we do. Now, this comment was quite interesting because Serena Yu said, well, Liverpool has a large number of people and Campbelltown has a large number of people and a huge suburbs. So it's 10 times the population of many other suburbs. So, of course, you'd expect to see larger headcounts. Yeah. But you're missing the point. Let me just show you what I mean by that. Here is the Liverpool analysis. So you're right, 38,000 households in this postcode, 2170, 22% earning outright, 35% are borrowing, 42% are renting. And you can see here that 86% are in mortgage stress. So that's extremely high, more than 11,000. And the renters in rental stress, 85%, are also very high at 13,000. Houses at 59%. Units are 27% and some of the other types of property there too. People ratio is quite high, so it's families. The vacancy rate, 7.5%, for a bit higher than we saw last time. Gross investment yield, just 3.3%, but the net investment yield is negative, 0.6%. So investors are underwater on a cash flow basis. Taxable income shows that the ATO report is $69,500, whereas the household census was $81,000. Now, when you see that diversity, what it shows you is that more than one worker in the family is contributing to the household income. Looking at the disposable monthly income, about $5,400, with 47.7% or $2,598 going on the typical mortgage, and 36.1%, $1,969 going on the typical rent. Looking at the price scenarios, very little growth, even on the best case scenario for houses over the next 3 years, just 1.3%. The base case, a fall of 18% over 3 years. The worst case, a significant fall, units following suit. And just to make a comparison between the Liverpool area and the Campbelltown area, you can see here in Campbelltown, this is postcode 2560, 29,500 households in that particular postcode, 23% earn outright, 39% are borrowing, 37% are renting. A lot of mortgage stress, that's right at the top there, 100% actually, plus or minus a small amount because of the sampling. More than 11,000 households in mortgage stress, 96% in rental stress, some stressed investors too. 78% of households in financial stress. So it's very high, however you measure it. Looking at the property mix, 78% of houses, 10% of units, and other types of property, 11%. People ratio is 2.64%, vacancy rate is 5.2%. Gross investment yield is 3.5%, net investment yield is minus 1%. So people are underwater significantly in cash flow terms as a property investor. Looking at the taxable income, 69,000 from the ATO, 83,000 from the census. So again, more than one income going on the mortgage. Disposable monthly income around $5,100 with 46.6% or $2,400 going on the average mortgage repayment and 36.7%, $1,894 a month going on the typical rent. Looking at the scenarios, well, even in the best case scenario, property prices are likely to slide over the next 3 years. The base case, even more so. In the worst case, a significant drop, more than 40%. Now, IOF1 asked about Sunbury 3429, and I'm very happy to provide that information. So Sunbury in Melbourne, postcode 3429, 15,000 households in the postcode, 30% own outright, 49% are borrowing, 20% are renting, mortgage stress at 65% with more than 4,800 in difficulty, 94% are renters at 2,938, stressed investors not too bad, and households in financial stress, 53% overall. Mostly houses, some units and other types of property there too. People ratio is 2.5, so families rather than just individuals. Vacancy rate's 4.7%. Gross investment yield's 3.2%. Net investment yield is 0.7% minus, so underwater in cash flow terms. Average taxable income, 76,000 from the ATO, just over 100,000 from the census. So again, multiple incomes going to pay the mortgage or rent. Typical monthly disposable income, $6,420 a month, with 32.4% going on the typical mortgage, more than $2,000, and 28%, $1,799, going on the typical rent. And looking at the scenarios, unfortunately here, significant falls in value over the next 3 years. Best safe case scenario, down 7%. Worst case scenario, down 47%. A doctor asked about postcode 2153. 2153 is in Balcombe Hills in Sydney. And here we have 21,826 households with 33% owning outright, 45% borrowing, 21% renting. 23% are in mortgage stress, just over 3,600, and roughly the same number, but 77% of those in rental stress from the renters. Stressed investors, relatively lower, 18%, and households in financial stress, lower at 38%. 75% of properties are houses, some units and other types of property there too. People ratio is very high at 2.79%. So again, more families than individuals. Vacancy rates 5.5%. Gross investment yields at 3.5%. The net investment yield is -0.7%. So again, underwater. And I want to highlight how many investors are underwater in a cash flow basis. Of course, they're banking on capital appreciation. Looking at the taxable income, 94,000 from the ATO, 109,000 from the census. Again, multiple incomes going on the mortgage. Typical disposable monthly, $7,290 a month, with 45.4% going on the typical mortgage at $3,311 a month. Typical rent, 36.9% or $2,691. Looking at the price scenarios, positive, 8.7% over 3 years for the house over the next 3 years. Base case, negative 11.2% over 3 years, worst case considerably worse, units following along. In Watts 6683 asked about Dubbo, 2830 Dubbo please, Martin. Happy to help. Dubbo up in the northwest, 16,900 households with 28% owning outright, 37% borrowing, 34% are renting. Mortgage stress at 44% for 2,700 households in difficulty there. Rental stress at 53.6% or 3,116. Stressed investors 16.2%. Overall financial stress at 38%. Mostly houses 38.6%. Some units at 6.9% and other types of property. People ratio at 2.38 and the vacancy rate 6.5%. Gross investment yield 3.3%, but once again, net investment yield underwater, minus 0.8%. And looking at the average taxable, 72,000 from the ATO and 88,000 from the census, giving a disposable monthly income around $5,700 a month, with 32.9% going on the typical mortgage, $1,898 a month, and the typical rent, 26.8% at $1,544 a month. And looking at the scenarios, there is good news. Best case scenario is a rise of 11% over the next 3 years. The base case, a fall of about 8% over 3 years. Worst case, considerably more in a unit following along. And just before I finish, I found this interesting article, which was published over the weekend, that said that landlords have been offering properties rent-free for up to a month in a bid to lure increasingly picky tenants into leases. The largest supply of available rents tend to be in the areas dominated by high-rise units. Many of those areas had recently become tenants' markets, with tenants able to dictate terms. SQM Research Director Louis Christopher said the federal government's recent attempt to curb migration, particularly international student arrivals, had helped thin the rental pool and increase vacancies, and more tenants were also grouping together in shared houses, Mr. Christopher said. Yep, we're seeing that in our data. And I thought I'd just pick one here, Woollahra, because it was right at the top of the list with a vacancy rate of 6.2%. Let's look at Woollahra. So here, this is postcode 2025, with 3,167 households, 36% owning outright, 26% borrowing, but 36% renting. You can see here that mortgage stress is relatively low, but rental stress is through the roof, literally, close to 100%. Stressed investors also pretty high at 38%, so you can see the pressure on stressed investors, hence the reason why they're happy to give up rent. And overall financial stress is extremely high. Looking at the property mix, just 70% houses, 50% are units, and some other types of property too. People ratio is quite low. That includes some individuals as well as perhaps it's couples and some families. Vacancy rate was very high. That was caused through census, so that was now a bit out of date. Gross investment yields, 3.5%. Net investment yields, still underwater, minus 0.2%. Average taxable income in the area is more than $218,000. From the census, though, it was $156,000, and that translates to a disposable monthly around $8,975 a month, with a massive 53.5% or $4,800 going on the typical mortgage, and 37.2% or $3,338 a month going on the typical rent. And because of all this, in particular the high stress driving prices, we can see that the scenario is that prices will drift sideways, best case scenario over the next 3 years for houses, and fall in the base case scenario by about 20%, and units are following on. And I might just share one more, because Bondi Junction was also on that article. And there, 5,800 households exist in that postcode, with 27% owning outright, 22% borrowing, and a massive 49.9% renting. Mortgage stress, 14.3%, but rental stress, 95.3% at 2,801 households. Stressed investors, 27%. So overall financial stress at 68%. You can see here the property mix, just 11% houses, 56% units and other types of property, 31%. People ratios below 2. Vacancy rate was 12.2%. That was at the end of COVID, so it's maybe lower now. Gross investment yield, 3.2%, but the net investment yield is minus 0.8%. And the average taxable income, 126,000 from the ATO, 129,000 from the census, giving a disposable monthly income around $8,284 a month, with 50%, highest we've seen, going on the typical mortgage at $4,160 a month, and 39.7% or $3,298 a month going on the typical rent. And looking at the trends in terms of property, almost no growth over the next 3 years, best case, and the base case, a fall. The worst case, a more considerable fall. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks to those who suggested postcodes to look at. Hope you found that useful. I'll be updating the models at the end of the month. Just before I go, I will just mention that we do provide access to this information via our Patreon program. And specifically, if you want to get hold of the data for all of the 2,000 plus postcodes that we analyze each month, you can subscribe. It's $50 a month plus GST. And that allows you to get access to the data when you're subscribed at this level. We send it out about 2 weeks or so after the end of the month, once we've done the analysis and made a show on YouTube about it. So that's a way of getting the granular information. And of course, that information also includes things like the gross and net investment yields, as well as the stress data. And it also gives you a bit of a flavor of where perhaps the pressures are. And that could actually have an indication in terms of where property prices might go too. All that information is in the model. Anyway, thanks for watching. Hope you found that useful and interesting. And if you are in mortgage stress or financial stress, refer to my earlier show. I did make some suggestions there as to perhaps how to tackle it. I'm afraid that the story ahead looks like stress will continue to develop because, frankly, interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. The RBA, of course, underscored that this last week. And the fact of the matter is that real incomes, as I said when I came into this show, are continuing to go backwards even now. And that is not a good story. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.